So again, 2007. Joshua Bell had sold out Boston Symphony Hall. Seats were nearly $100 each. Joshua Bell played a violin that evening worth more than $3 million. It's easily that one could recognize that he is one of the most profound musicians in the world. But 3 days later, he entered a metro station at Washington, D.C., wearing this casual clothing and baseball cap. He opened his case and played his violin for 45 minutes. Experts had estimated that out of 1,000 people, 35 would stop, and that he would raise $150 just by folks stopping by to give him some change. However, only 7 people stopped to listen. 27 gave money, a total of $52. And not one person recognized him except one, and that person gave 20. It makes us wonder how easy it is to miss a wonder. In John 1:14, our scripture reading for this evening, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And while there are many ways in which we could understand what Christmas is all about, the theme about the glory of God is most central in my mind. That Jesus reveals the glory of God for our good by his grace and by his truth. Let me be playful this evening with that word glory and give you a 5-finger mnemonic based on it. I've been in a group of pastors who are stretching our creativity, pushing us to write poetry, beginning with that simple haiku, or maybe just a little word acrostic. So bear with me this evening if it sounds a little elementary to you. That G for glory is for God. Where else can we begin the story of Jesus than where John himself begins in chapter 1, verse 1, with the eternal Word who was in the beginning, who was with God, and who was God. The Gospel of John echoes the story of creation found in Genesis chapter 1, when the universe was formed out of chaos with the word of divine wisdom and gave shape and form to it. The first words in Genesis chapter 1 are, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In John's mind, things don't make sense without God. Life does not make sense without God. God is at the beginning of all life. And as we look back over thousands or millions or even billions of years towards the origin of the cosmos, we might be able to discover equations that have governed it. We might be able to evaluate the conditions that affect its fate, but that is not understanding. Understanding is not about mere information, beloved. It is about the purpose and the value of the meaning, what the writer of Hebrews calls faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to know God. One must believe that God is real. Faith, then, they go on to say, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that God is in the beginning, Alpha and Omega, the Ancient of Days, the Holy Other, the Divine Consciousness, who is unrecognizable to mere intellect and reason. Who else could fathom that by speaking a word to create something out of nothing? Who else with a word could bring creation into existence just by its mere will? It is with a word that God filled the empty cosmos with substantive beauty that does not require any human intervention. And yet with a word, God creates humanity out of the clay of the ground, fills them with loving presence, and invites created beings into relationship with them. It is God who is the glory in humanity. It is God who is in glory and humanity who shows the perfect image of all creation poured into the body of Jesus Christ. And in his birth, we see the divinity of God. The L is for light. Everybody say light. The first word that God speaks in the Bible in its origin form is fiat lu. Let there be light. That theme of light is central to John's gospel from beginning to end. That light that shines is not an idea or a philosophy or a step-by-step guide to your best life now. This life is wrapped in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it, nor can it ever extinguish it. If I were to give you some foreshadowing, on Easter in 2022, we will have a sermon series that works its way through the Gospel of John. John begins at the end that all of these things are written so that you might have life. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the light of the world, that whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of Zoe, meaning life. I wonder if we could use some true light in our dark world today. Have you ever heard of SAD? It's an acronym or maybe a meaning for it. It stands for Seasonal Affective Disorder. I had no idea what this was until we moved here in 2003. And then I all of a sudden found myself sad between the fall and the winter. Starts to creep up around November, and it doesn't shake off until March or April. The Mayo Clinic describes it as a type of depression that is related to these seasonal changes. Less sunlight. I don't even know if you know, but Columbus, Ohio gets some of the least amount of sunlight in the whole country. Sad. Even all day today has just been sad. The Mayo Clinic says seasonal affective disorder gets in the way of our work, our education, our personal relationships, because people have a tendency to be depressed when they are having these things. And the treatments can vary from person to person, and some are more effective than others. And there's something called a light therapy box that just mimics sunlight being shown onto your face to help you feel a little better. Somebody's shaking their head. They're like, yes, I have heard of that, and I need to get one for Christmas. But SAD is not just the seasonal affective disorder that's affecting us here in Columbus, Ohio, between the fall and the winter. It is something of the condition of our humanity without Christ. That we find ourselves in periods and moments of depression where it's hard to work, hard to get our minds straight, our relationships together, even the mere energy to get out and exercise. We have all of the information in the world, and yet we find ourselves still heavy with darkness. John tells us that Jesus is our light therapy for all kinds of seasonal affective disorders, for our sorrows, for our setbacks, for our shortcomings. This light therapy is for our hardships, for our headaches, and for our heartbreaks. In Jesus' birth, he is the light of God's glory for our sadness. The O is for offering. Everybody say offering. Offering. This offering is not ours, but God's. True light, John says, was coming into the world, but not because of some inevitable chain of cause and effect. God wasn't coming into the world because we had fallen so low. God didn't come into the world because things had just gotten that bad. Otherwise, God should have waited to come till 2020, huh? I mean, I wouldn't have been mad about that. If you came in 2020, things might have been just a little bit better, huh, somebody? But it wasn't because of things had gotten worse or they had fallen to their lowest place. It because God was coming as an offering, a personal gift to the world. You've quoted it sometimes before in your religious past. John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave God did not hate the world. God was not displeased with the world. God was not dejected by the world. God didn't feel so bad for the world that he said, well, I guess I got to come down myself. No, it was love that compelled God to come in the person of Jesus. It is light and it is love that work together, the supreme act of self-offering, of pouring out so the world could be reconciled to God in his creation, God in his sonship, God in his spirit, that we gaze at the infant in the manger to see the word become flesh as an offering. May we gaze even closer, beloved, at the baby who becomes a young man and an offering upon a cross. Most of us would rather sanitize Christmas. You know, like we're all doing our hand sanitizer, you know, sanitizing every time we touch somebody. We got to just sanitize that thing, get a little bit clean. We sanitize our Christmas and we forget that Jesus was born in the midst of great destruction. That Jesus was born at a time when King Herod, in his own darkness, had caused an edict to kill every boy ages 2 and under. And the wailing of the mothers of Israel cried out throughout all of that nation because of what Herod had done. Christmas is beautiful, but it is also painful. And it is in this pain that God offers God's self in the person of Jesus. And every act, we understand that when you give is the risk of not being received, right? We know this when we give away something precious. Some of us will give away some gifts on tomorrow and wonder, are we going to get an equal amount back? We shaken out the value of the gifts and we're seeing whether or not the value of what we receive is going to be equal to that which we give. But God's offering doesn't work in this transactional kind of way. Because there is no giving that can outgive God. But this next word is sufficient enough. R is for receiving. Everybody say receive. This receive is not God's, but ours. Receiving needs as much grace as giving. And our gospel reading acknowledges the risk that is involved when a gift is not welcomed, when it's not received well, or if it's even received at all. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. In the middle of the string of powerful text, words like God and word and light and life and glory and grace and truth comes a but. Who is able to see this incarnation, this God in flesh for what it is? Who is able to recognize the light and the glory that is around us and embraces it when God says, I have given you this offering and yet we do not receive it? We come close to this idea that we cannot ignore, we cannot forget, we cannot just merely turn away, we cannot carry on about the busyness of our hurried lives and not pause to receive the offering that God has to provide. We don't want to admit that Christmas ain't about us. We don't want to admit that Christmas ain't about the gifts under the tree. We don't want to admit that Christmas ain't about all the decorations. But it is about receiving Christ as our very own. To receive Christ as our very own is to acknowledge and to worship and to shout with praise. To receive Christ as our very own is to acknowledge our dependence upon God for all that we are and all that we are becoming. To turn prayer into not just simply a petition towards God, but a petition to receive even more of God. Prayer is that next sermon series that will begin on the first Sunday in January, where we turn our attention from prayer that is merely about asking God for more and more and asking God to transform us into the light that he gave to his own son. Beloved, if Christmas doesn't touch us in some deep place, if it is not what we see in verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the rights to become the children of God. All it takes is your believing. All it takes is your receiving over and over again to be reminded of who you are. We are God's children. And God's children are not merely to just proclaim it in word, but we're also to live it in deed. It ought to translate in the way we relate to one another, the way we interact with those who are strangers among us, those who might be considered enemies in our midst, and in particular, the enemy inside of us. Christmas should not just be about the same old story, but the gospel that turns us inside out. The way it turned God inside out. A God who cares to give over and over. Have you considered the fact that Jesus came into the world as a gift to his two young poor parents who lived under the tyranny of King Herod, who lived under the oppression of the Roman Empire, who came to poor fishermen to empower them to be life changers in the world, who came to poor women who were forgotten about, to children who were overlooked, who looked at those who were on the outskirts to say, "You are me." And when the world sees you, it sees me. When the world receives you, it receives me. So what will this why be? Any guesses? Yeah, it's hard. You won't ever guess it. It's simple. It's yes. Yes. A word that is both God's and ours. A word that speaks from our heart. Yes. Yes, God, to you who have come into our dark world. Yes, God, to you who shines his light. Yes, God, to you who offers his son. Yes, God, to you who has caused us to receive what you have already provided. Yes, yes, yes. Yes to every man and woman and child. Yes to all of the work that you have given us. Yes to all, God. Yes to the newborn child. Yes to the child that has passed. Yes to the life that is still here. Yes to the life that has transitioned. Yes to the friendships that exist. Yes to those that are estranged. Yes to the generosity that is present. Yes, for the generosity to be revealed. Yes, to the compassion that we need. Yes, to the compassion that we give. Yes, to the suffering world. Yes, to the cries. Yes, to the cries. Yes, to the cries. Yes. Christmas is about giving God back our yes. And not saying, no, not yet. So what will you say yes to? In 2014, Joshua Bell returned to the subway. But this time his appearance was announced, and there was a massive triumph with thousands of attendees. After all those years, 7 years of being overlooked and forgotten, the announcement rang out, and this time it wasn't just Joshua playing the violin. He invited others to play right along with him, sharing the spotlight. The glory of Christmas is that God shares the spotlight with us. His light is poured into us, but it is not a light to be hidden. It is one to be shown throughout the world. But God says, come on. Come on to the subway station where they've forgotten about me. Come on to the subway station and invite others. Come on to the subway station and let's play our music, our instruments, our very lives together so that others might see and rejoice. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Y'all waiting for me to sing it, I know. We'll give him all the glory, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone.